Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 45, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Now the King in thy strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice, for the which of his heart thou dost freely accord the request of a suppliant voice. And what follows, Psalter 45, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Song of Solomon and thereof the third chapter. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The Song of Solomon, chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, as saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath a sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Most merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast brought us up to thy courts, when thou wast spared us the past week, wherever we were called to be in the home, at work, on the way, at school, where thou wast not dealt according to our manifold and great sins, where thou yet makest a distinction, where there is no distinction, with most of the inhabitants upon the face of the earth, where in the past week thou hast showered us, even in the midst of the trials of life, with many blessings, and that so undeservedly, that for a sinful and for an unthankful people, may it then please thee to grant profound impressions of the multitude of thy tender mercies, and where we may still be in the day of grace, ah, Lord, then in our deep fallen Adam, we have lost thy image, and also that true praise and thankfulness, that even under the most abundant mercy, that we can remain so hard, that we can continue so easy on our way, and that we are not even concerned, that we are such unthankful creatures, such sinful creatures, but, O Lord, then thy mercy is great, where thou hast given thy dear Son as a gift upon this earth, that the chiefest, that the blackest, that the vilest of sinners may and shall be saved, and to that end the world may still stand. To that end the seasons may continue, where in the day of yesterday we may enter another season, ah, Lord. Then we do well to examine ourselves, And then we read in thy word by means of the prophet that the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved, ah, Lord. May that become reality in all of our lives to that end. May it please thee to come down with thy Holy Spirit and work wonderfully and mightily in the hearts of young and old for that to become reality and then to become a beggar and a seeker at the throne of grace, ah, Lord. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And it is declared in thy word that thou lovest the gates of Zion more than all the habitations of Jacob. Ah, may then sons and daughters be born in Zion, and where thou hast begun that good work, ah, Lord. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy courts in this morning hour. Ah, for those true seekers, thou shalt not put them to shame. May they be satisfied with the fatness of thy house, to hear their life and their heart declared, to be comforted, to be encouraged, but, O Lord, above all, to come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son. Wilt thou so remember thy people? They need to be instructed time, each time by renewal and all their ways. To be led deeper and further into the mysteries of salvation, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Wilt thou so richly bless thy word over the length and the breadth of the earth in this very day, in the different countries, the different places, the different circumstances, also in the persecuted church, that many jewels may be added to the crown of King Jesus. Wilt thou also remember the families that are gathered in another place? Do help and remember the readers. Grant thy blessing and may it prosper in thy hand. Then we commend unto thee a young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week, the first Sabbath day in their married life. May it please thee to make it special, and that shall be when thou worketh lovingly and irresistibly in their hearts. May they be granted in their marriage to first seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and then thou wast promised that all other things shall be added to it. Lord, remember the manifold needs. They are known unto thee, the mourning ones. Wilt thou continue to uphold them, and that out of the mourning for loved ones, that an other mourning is born, and that is a mourning because of our sins and of that missing thee. Oh, it is written in thy word of those mourners. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Lord, we commend all our elderly ones unto thee. In the evening of their life, their time is short. The infirmities increase. Above all things, be mindful of their never dying souls. Oh, do prepare them to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. Remember all the afflicted ones. A mother had a serious surgery and thou wast made it wonderfully well, where the doctors believe that it was successful. Wilt thou grant further healing and strengthening, and together with her husband and family, a broken and a humble heart, and that this calling may be sanctified, Lord. We may thank thee by renewal that as far as we know, that there is not one in the hospital that is also thy doing. May we be given to notice it and given to acknowledge thee therefore. But there are those where there are concerns, difficulties, the circumstances are all known unto thee. May it please thee to grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding. Wilt thou grant that they become not overly discouraged and keep from rebellion, but may they be given to bow their knees with the psalmist. When my soul was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Remember the handicapped ones. Remember the crosses and all the burdens. And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Send help from the sanctuary. Strengthen out of Zion. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers go from bench to bench and from heart to heart. Leave not cold and unmoved. Impress divine realities upon all our hearts, accompanied with a prayer unto thee, the living God. Wilt thou remember those in the dwelling's lawful reasons, when they may listen along, grant also a blessing there, and impress upon all of our hearts, Lord, that it is sinned away, that it is undeserved, but thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake. Have then respect unto thy covenant. Remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Visit us with thy salvation. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 420, the stanzas 2 and 6. But let the righteous blessed of yore a joy in their God as never before face victory achieving. Their joy shall then unbounded be who see God's face eternally, their heart's desire receiving. And what follows? Psalter 420, the stanzas 2 and 6. Thank you. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, the verses 9, 10, and 11, where God's word and our text reads thus: King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love, for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Our text words speak of the gospel chariot, with four thoughts. In the first place, the builder of this chariot. Secondly, the purpose of this chariot. Thirdly, the materials of this chariot. And fourthly, the invitation concerning this chariot. The gospel chariot, the builder of this chariot, the purpose of this chariot, the materials of this chariot, and the invitation concerning this chariot. Thus first, the builder of this chariot. Beloved congregation, we read in our text words, King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Then the Song of Solomon is a description of Solomon and his black bride, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And then in this chapter, the church, the longer that she was given to look, the more she has learned. Because in verse 7, we only read of Solomon. In verse 9, we read of King Solomon. And in verse 11, that King Solomon was crowned. When we consider our text, then it is also applicable what Christ has spoken. In Matthew 12, verse 42, when he was given to speak of the Queen of Sheba, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Then in this morning, boys and girls, then we are called upon to consider a chariot that was built by Solomon. We need to consider the materials, whether it is a good and a strong chariot, the purpose of the chariot, and the exhortation and invitations concerning this chariot. Then in this morning, then the gospel chariot may still ride through the congregation. And then it is needful that by the free and sovereign grace of God, that we and our children receive a place in this chariot. And then concerning Solomon, the builder of this chariot, it is clearly said in our text that he made himself a chariot. And then it is clear in the scriptures that Solomon is a beautiful, not a full type, but a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that more so because David, also a type of Christ, but more in the state of his humiliation, but Solomon more in the way of exaltation. And then we shall mention a few similarities, and then boys and girls, then you can try to remember some of them, and then you have something to tell your parents. In the first place, the name of Solomon, that means peace. And we read in Isaiah 9 verse 6, that the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Then we read when Solomon was born that Nathan has given him also another name, Jediah, which means beloved of the Lord. And so the Father has spoken with the baptism of a son, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Then when Solomon was born, then David has made an oath to Bathsheba that he would sit on the throne. And so in the council of peace, then Christ has been appointed as that mediator. He would become the servant of the Father. He would fulfill everything that was needful that black sinners may, must, and shall be saved. Then we read of Solomon that he was anointed to be king. And so of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Solomon, that he was anointed from eternity, appointed, qualified in the time, according to his human nature, to be prophet, priest, and king. O Solomon, he was king. And in his writings, also in a certain sense, that prophetical office. Then in the next place, then we read of Solomon, that he has received great wisdom, where in 1 Kings 3, the Lord has come over in a dream in Gibeon and asked what Solomon desired. He could ask what he desired, riches, honor, and then he was given to ask for wisdom, that he has become the wisest man upon the earth. But oh, of the greater Solomon, then he is called wisdom, as we read in the book of Proverbs and especially in the 8th chapter. Ah, Solomon, he has become very rich. Silver was counted as the stones, but nothing compared to the greater Solomon, where I read in Psalm 50 that the beast, the animals, they are his. And in Haggai 2, all the gold and the silver. Ah, then for Solomon, then the land of Israel has been greatly expanded, even to the Euphrates, but nothing compared to the dominion of the greater Solomon, because we read in Psalm 72 that his dominion extends from sea to sea, from the rivers to the ends of the earth. Ah, to that end. In the time of Solomon, it was a time of peace. The enemies were subdued. And so we read of the greater Solomon in Psalm 2 verse 6, yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. Then further, then Solomon has received the command, the duty by his father David to build that glorious temple. And so the greater Solomon in the council of peace, that spiritual temple may be built, that from all nations, all peoples, young and old, all from those cedars of Lebanon, as we read in 1 Kings 5, and out of those mountains that stones would be hewn, that they would be brought to Jerusalem. And as we read in 1 Peter 2, that glorious temple of Jesus Christ would be built. Oh, young and old, the temple is not yet finished. There are still stones that shall and must be added. May it be our holy concern that we may be one of those stones. Then further, we read of Solomon that he has received much honor. Think of the Queen of Sheba. She has said, half was not told me. Ah, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is true. When he is tabernacled here upon the earth, he was despised, rejected, it is still so. But we read already in Matthew 2 that those wise men with their gifts, that they have come to worship him. But now concerning the builder of this chariot, then we read of Solomon that he had a black bride. Oh, what a beautiful type of the greater Solomon, where he has come upon the earth. He has suffered and he has died, that black bride, that she may be forgiven of all her trespasses, to receive a place in that golden chariot of Solomon, and so to be ushered in due time out of this life into eternity. Secondly, the purpose of this chariot. And then our second point in short, because kings, they had a chariot, many different reasons. Oh, in the first place, let us mention for their honor. Think of Joseph, boys and girls, when he was brought out of prison, when he has interpreted those dreams, and then he received the second chariot in the country, and then he went through the country, and then the command was given to bow the knee. Have you ever bowed the knee, congregation? Has that now taken place in our life? Because to receive a place in that chariot, then we shall learn to bow very deeply. There are times that people cannot bow low enough. And why do they have a desire to bow? That the king on the chariot, that he may receive all the honor and the glory. Then in the second place, then chariots. The king had a chariot and many chariots in the way of warfare to subdue the enemies, because we read in Psalm 45, the verses 3 through 5, where it speaks of the greater Solomon, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon his lips. Then King Solomon in that chariot with his invitations and with his kindly words, but also in the way of warfare, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty right prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thy arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thus such a king with his army would ride on that chariot, on the one hand to subdue enemies, and also we read to shoot arrows in the hearts of king's enemies. And therefore the necessity that we faithfully place herself under the means of grace with the prayer that we may be given to ask that the Lord may shoot an arrow of love and an arrow of conviction in the hearts of enemies and people. When that takes place, then we can never get that arrow out, because it has been shot by the king, and that for the purpose that the king's enemies, that they may be conquered by his goodness, learn what sinners they are, how black, and that they may receive a place on that golden chariot of Solomon to experience that blessed communion. Then further, we read of a chariot in Genesis 46, whom Joseph has sent to carry his father to Egypt. In 2 Kings 2, we read of those chariots, horses and fire, that the Lord has used a chariot to carry the prophet Elijah into heaven. But in our text words, then it is especially stressed the purpose of that chariot, that gospel chariot, that is for a black bride to receive a place and to experience that blessed communion. Thus in this morning, when we speak of the gospel chariot, that is the proclamation of the wonderful grace of God, the work of a triune God, where it may be proclaimed that there is mercy and forgiveness for sinners, that they may be saved. And then that gospel chariot that is made for his honor and for his glory. And that gospel chariot that may ride through the congregation each time we come to God's house, that it may be proclaimed that there is mercy for sinners. Those exhortations to repent and to come as a poor sinner at the feet of the king, begging that we may receive a place in congregation. This gospel chariot, that is such a roomy chariot for all peoples, all ages. And what precious invitations and examples we have in the scriptures are the rich, the increased with goods, the self-righteous, because in that golden chariot of the greater Solomon, there is so much room for that naked black bride with a heavenly debt. But it is such a narrow way. and what is now necessary. Come down, Holy Spirit. Wilt thou teach? Wilt thou instruct? Wilt thou convict? And wilt thou draw to that golden chariot of Solomon's congregation? There shall be a last time for all of us that golden chariot will come through our midst for the last time. For the elderly ones, already so often with the calling, the exhortation, the proclamation, but there shall be a last time. It can also be when we are younger, because there is but a step between us and death. And therefore, what a holy urgency to receive a place in that golden chariot. Sometime we read it in countries where there is war and where a city is besieged, that the government says the enemy is coming. Impossible to defend herself. Thus there's only one way. And then large planes, they take people out of such a city and take them to an other place. And when that takes place, what an urgency there is among the people to receive a place on such a plane. It is true they cannot take so many possessions along, but what an urgency there is. And when it is said that this plane is full, then how distressed that people that remain behind become, eagerly waiting whether another plane is coming. And how close the enemy is to the city. Is there not a holy urgency for us and our dear children when that golden gospel chariot may ride through the congregation, that we may receive a place? Our third thought, then we must consider whether it is a good, a strong, and a solid chariot. Because if we have a chariot, and we have quite a few people, and it breaks down, then it shall not be so valuable. But, oh, the golden gospel chariot, that is such a strong chariot. And to that end, in our text words, then we read of the material that the chariot of Solomon was constructed with. And then first, we read, we would say, the framework, the cedars of Lebanon. And that is a special wood. That is a wood that does not rot or decay very quickly, but it lasts a long time. Oh, a faint type of that gospel chariot has its foundation in eternity. And it shall be to eternity. Then cedar wood, boys and girls, you know it. And especially when you have a carpenter and he works with that wood, then it gives a very nice smell. And so it is with the gospel and God's holy word. When it may be prayerfully searched, meditated upon, when the Spirit grants light, then what a sweetness it grants to the soul. Then they also tell us that cedar wood, there are some woods that insects come and they destroy it and eat it all, but not cedar wood. So it is with the gospel. Can be the insects that try to attack it, free will religion, self-righteousness, and many more, but they can never destroy. Has tried for 6,000 years, but never destroy the chariot of Solomon, the golden chariot of the gospel. Then secondly, then we read, those boys and girls, you can picture our chariot made of wood. And then when we see such a chariot, then what perhaps first catches our attention is the pillars that support the roof. Think of Judges 16 with Samson. When he has broken those pillars, then the whole roof came down. And what do those pillars now refer to? The pillars of the gospel chariot. They point to the attributes of God. To be given to behold those pillars. Pillars of his mercy. Pillars of his justice. Pillars of his truth, the pillars of his faithfulness, all the attributes of the Lord, communicable and incommunicable. When the Lord works, then a soul becomes much exercised with those pillars. Thus those pillars, the attributes of God, and also referring to the promises of God for his people. Let us mention the Beatitudes and Matthew 5. What an encouragement and comfort for those souls that have such a vehement desire. They need a place in that chariot. Do you also need a place in that chariot? Or are you satisfied with other chariots? Chariot of riches. Chariot of the pleasure of the world. Chariot of self-righteousness. But young and old, it's too short to meet our Maker. We need a place in the gospel chariot. And then further, then we read concerning the bottom, the floor of that chariot was of gold. That is a pure, a precious, that's the heaviest metal. What points to that precious covenant of grace, which is from everlasting to everlasting, the work of a triune God, of that covenant. The prophet Isaiah has spoken in Isaiah 54, the verses 9 and 10, when it speaks of the waters of Noah and that covenant. For many a child of God, what a comfort that text has given, that covenant shall never be broken, that the Lord shall not be wroth with his people. Thus that golden covenant of grace That is the foundation of the salvation of his church. Gold, that is the first metal mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 2, and also the last in Revelations 21. Thus then, children, made of cedar, we have seen the pillars, need pillars to support a roof, a floor of gold, and then it is specifically mentioned, the covering of it is of purple. Thus that covering that protects from the elements, from the burning sun, from rain. Oh, what a beautiful picture. This specifically mentioned is of purple. We read in Isaiah 63, the first three verses, concerning the greater Solomon, dyed garments of Bozrah, wherefore art thou red in thy apparel? And in the Gospels we read that the Lord Jesus Christ was covered with clothed with scarlet. Thus, what a beautiful picture of that chariot, the covering, that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ, whereby a poor sinner may be sheltered from the wrath of God. And then what else? The midst thereof being paved with love. Word in the original also has connection with embroidery. But now the midst thereof, then to understand and experience the full extent thereof, then we must come in that chariot. But now for the daughters of Jerusalem, we have heard it out of this chapter, then that beauty and the sturdiness and the material and the love in that chariot that may be proclaimed. Then their hearts begin to burn. But now what is now the most important? Tis a privilege and a blessing when there is such a chariot, and when it may be proclaimed, the materials of that chariot, the way of free and sovereign grace, the purpose of that chariot, and to have an impression of the king of that chariot. Because that is very important. Because congregation, to have a desire to come in that chariot of Solomon, then we need a love for that king, and also a love for his word and for his law and for his institutions, and a love for his people. It is true, there is a great diversity in that chariot. There is an Adam and Eve that could tell us what it was to be in the state, literally to be in the state of rectitude, without sin, without that pollution, and that they could praise the Lord perfectly. But what multitudes, but what a diversity. Oh, an Isaac, a Jacob. Oh, a Rahab, the harlot. A Manasseh, who had been such a wicked king. Oh, there was a Mary, a Martha, a Lazarus, a Timothy. A great multitude. Some have been drawn out of the world. others, prodigal sons, not so many, of course, when the Lord works, we learn that we are such a prodigal son, and especially under the external administration of the covenant. And now the all-important question is, how is it with us concerning that chariot? Has the need been born in our heart to receive a place in that chariot? Has the love been shed abroad in our hearts? Are we willing to forsake all to receive that place? And to that end, in our text words, a special exhortation and a special invitation concerning the king in the chariot and to receive a place in that chariot. Let us first sing. Psalter 124, the first four stanzas. My heart doth overflow, a goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. And what follows, Psalter 124, the first four stanzas. the gospel chariot, the builder, the purpose, the materials, and now the invitation concerning this chariot. Congregation, there is still room in the chariot. And then the call comes to each and every one to be given to turn from our worldly and self-righteous ways. The call comes to each and every one to bow before this chariot. And God still calls to come in this chariot. What do we do with the external calling? What shall it be, young and old, to go lost when that gospel chariot may ride through the midst of the congregation, Sabbath day after Sabbath day, and during the week, to rather choose everything else but to receive a place in the golden chariot of King Jesus, and then at the end to be taken into glory. And now in our text, then we have a special exhortation and a special invitation. And then that word that either excludes or includes. I hope that there are a few souls that do not know it, because congregation, when the Lord works, then there can be so many riddles to that end. Then we also need him as prophet in that chariot. Because when we think of the materials, then the pillars, they point especially to that prophetical office, and the covering to the priestly office, and gold that points to the kingly office. And now in our text, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. In verse 10, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. And now in verse 11, O ye daughters of Zion. In the scripture, that refers different times to the children of Israel. Other times it refers to all the people of God. And in the Song of Solomon, that speaks of daughters who have been born by the Spirit, that new birth, because a daughter that is born with those lively desires. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. Thus, a separating word. It is true, when that word was spoken, then all do hear it. But there are so many that are not interested, many that have not time, and others that think with the Felix, when he have a more convenient season, for maybe family circles so busy with the children, paying off the mortgage, when I have it a little easier, then I shall try to find a place in that chariot and for so many it never transpires. And now, why is this exhortation especially made to the daughters of Zion? Ah, do those daughters not have a desire? Do they not have a love to the Lord? Do they not need to be saved? Have they not seen something of the pillars of his attributes? Oh, do they not need that covering of purple, that their sins may be pardoned, that as a black bride, they may become white? Ah, do they not have a desire to receive a little place at the back in that chariot, that they may be included, that he may be given to behold the bridegroom, and that he may speak comfortably to their souls? That is their desire, and that is their prayer. But those daughters, they are so timid, and they have many objections. They experience that they are not fit to be in such a beautiful chariot, but it is their prayer and their desire. And now for the strengthening of their faith, then that exhortation goes forth, O daughters, who are so black, who of such a debt, send it away 1,000 times, not worthy to have a place in that chariot, but in the bottom of hell. Then for the encouragement of those daughters, then this special exhortation, and it includes an invitation. Then the Lord is saying, go forth. Same as we read in John 11, when Martha has come to Mary, the Master has come and calleth thee. Then he invites to come to receive a place in that golden chariot, to be the bride and to experience that blessed exchange. That the bridegroom, that he takes all the debt of the bride, and that he clothes them with the garments of righteousness, of salvation. And therefore, daughters of Zion, we repeat it. The message is heard by all. Let us say it this way, congregation. Concerning that golden chariot, all may come. God's word calls, exhorts, to find a place in that chariot that we may be saved. Thus, all may come. So congregation, boys and girls, young and old, if you go lost, shall be because ye will not. All may come. And now by nature, none will come. Christ has declared in John 5 verse 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. But now the wonder, that the church shall come. Those daughters of Jerusalem, go forth. Be then as a Bartimaeus and sit at the side of the road and cry for mercy, because the king in the chariot, he shall never leave. Their face shall be tried. Think of Matthew 15, that Canaanitish woman. Oh, a little dog under the table. Oh, let us say it this way for those daughters. Then place yourself before that chariot that you may receive a place. Think of Jacob in Genesis 32, reverently speaking, he has done so. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion. And we do not have one example in the Bible of those true daughters with that love shed abroad in their heart. Oh, exercised with the king needed that purple covering and loving all those pillars of silver and to receive a little insight in that golden floor. Ah, David has said at the end of his life in 2 Samuel 23 verse 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me that everlasting covenant, well ordered and sure. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and all the separating word, receive then a place in the chariot that you may go into heaven. We read, and behold, King Solomon. Ah, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Behold those promises in God's word. Oh, what precious invitations concerning that chariot. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give thee rest. Behold, King Solomon. We read something of that king in Psalm 45. Fair than the children of men, and grace is poured out upon his lips. Behold, King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. Then we read when David was very old that Adonijah has made a feast that he would be crowned as king. But then the message has come to Jerusalem, and then the mother of Solomon, Bathsheba, together with Nathan the prophet, they have went to David and asked concerning that oath that Solomon would become king. Thus to that end, Bathsheba had much to do with the crowning of Solomon as king. Also possible that it refers to the marriage of Solomon with his black bride, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. Thus it speaks of the crowning of King Jesus. And that becomes the exercise and the desire of the church. Because when we speak of the mother, that points to the church. Mothers bear children when the Lord may bless married life. And then what a privilege and what a blessing it is when in the congregation there are those exercises, those spiritual hannas that are given to beg much that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. And then it is the delight of the living and true church to crown King Jesus with honor and glory. And then the exercise, verse 11, the first two petitions, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Then they are given to rejoice greatly when more jewels may be added to the kingly crown of King Jesus. And then in our text, to those daughters of Jerusalem, oh, behold that King Solomon in his glory, and hearken to his precious invitations, and a prayer for the work of the Spirit to exercise that true saving faith, that those daughters may hear their name and given to behold King Solomon, and with their sins, with their transgressions, with their love and with their desires, to approach that chariot and to climb into that chariot and to receive that blessed place. Then they shall see that golden floor. Then they shall smell that sweet smell of cedar. Then they shall hear the king speak. And then they shall ride gloriously forth. And in the day of the gladness of his heart, that is the gladness of the greater Solomon, he has fulfilled the work of his father in the state of his humiliation and in the state of exaltation. Then the gladness of the king, when arrows may be shot, 'tis true, 'tis the work of the king, free and sovereign grace, but special words in our text, the rejoicing of the king, when his blood-bought bride may come to that chariot and to be given to receive a place young and old. How is it now with the gospel chariot? How is it with the king of the chariot? How is it with the exercises concerning this chariot? May I ask you, which chariot are you riding on? Can be many chariots, many hopes, but is it the chariot of the gospel, the scripture? Two ways, two peoples, and two destinations. When we read in our text, wherewith his mother crowned him, who was now that mother that we read in Matthew 12, where Christ says, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Then we read, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Is that so with that chariot? But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And then the solemn words which Christ has spoken, concerning Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. What an effort that the Queen has put forth. What effort do we put forth? Then we read, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, then thou was granted in this morning that the gospel chariot may ride through the midst of the congregation, and who was able to describe and to declare the glories thereof, and also of the King of the chariot. Then the call still comes to each and every one of us. May be proclaimed that there is a rich Savior for poor sinners. May the message not be left in thy house, ah Lord. Do work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit, that we may receive ears to hear and eyes to see. And all for those daughters of Jerusalem, by true saving faith, to go forth and to behold King Solomon with the desire to crown him. And thou wast said to Moses, there is a place by me, Lord. Remember us with thy favor. Watch over us in this day. Grant traveling mercies, return in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 125, the first three stanzas. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend, for Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. We wish to remind all those who desire to follow the Confession of Faith classes this season that there will be a registration evening on Thursday evening, September 28 at 7:30 p.m. And the first wedding announcement of Tristan Jean Van Garderen and Tara Lynn Butine, lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory, and the insight into is at the exit. 125, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.